Is taken from the book of John, and it's John 1, 1 to 5. You can look it up if you want to. John 1, 1 to 5. If you're looking at this Bible, it's a page 1004. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's a story told about a man who made shoes. He was a cobbler, and he had a longing desire to be a missionary and go abroad and tell people about Christ. And so as a result of that, everyone that came into his shop heard about Jesus. He'd sell them shoes and he'd mend the shoes, but then he'd tell them about Jesus and how much Jesus loved them. One day his friend took him aside and said, "All this talk about Jesus, it's ruining your business. People are stopping coming in because they know that you're going to preach at them. So they don't bother coming in anymore. So you've got less customers than you've ever had, and they're going elsewhere." The man responded, My business is to extend the word of God. I'm a cobbler to meet expenses." Is that true of our lives? Are our lives such that everything that we do is to extend the word of God? What we need to do is to keep doing the things that we do with conviction and wisdom and beauty and love. Scripture refers to us putting our light on a stand to let it shine for all to see, so that they will praise and glorify God. It's time for our lights to come out from under the baskets and be lit and be raised up high for God. We're called to be the light of the world. If you can picture a lighthouse uses its glowing beam to guide ships towards safety and away from danger. That's what we're called to do with the light of the world. We're called to use the light of Christ to guide the lost to the safety of God and away from the dangers of sin. Why such emphasis on light? Light has always held significant spiritual imagery throughout Scripture. We only get 3 verses into the Bible itself when we first read the word light. The first words recorded in the Bible, "Let there be light," Genesis 1 verse 3. It's used as a symbol for goodness and uprightness and blessing. It's closely linked with the word Yahweh and with goodness, and serves as a symbol of God's blessing. Jesus is referred to again and again as the light of the world. The Bible tells us that anyone who follows after Jesus will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Right at the end of Jesus' ministry, in John 12:35, he says, "The light is with you for a little longer. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." It's very important, and Christmas is full of light. It's full of imagery of light. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "Walk in the light as he is in the light." We are to be children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We read that when we were on the church weekend. It's from Philippians 2 verse 14. We're also commanded to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light and to walk as children of light. Light came into the world not only through the creation of sun, but also the creation of the Son, Jesus Christ. This is why Christmas is so special, not only to Christians, but to the lost and dying, because light came to bring deliverance and reconciliation from the darkness. It's interested me with our banner at the front. I don't know if you've kept track of our banner at the front of church, but we've had numerous things happen to it so far. People have tried to rip it down. Well, not tried to, they have ripped it down. They tore a corner off it once and it got repaired, and then they ripped it down completely. And I thought it was quite good, really, because they ripped it down completely the day before we were going to change it anyway. So I thought that was sort of God's sense of humour, really, saying, right, well, you can have that one, got a new one going up now. And then the wind blew a corner of it as well, and Philip, I think it was, went up and fixed it. So I think that banner and what God is doing in Oldham, people are starting to respond to it, and people are starting to notice it. I know they're noticing it because the place that I work in, Rochdale, overlooks the bus station. You can see the bus station from my desk and from the desks of everybody that sits near me. And quite regularly we have the bus going round that's got the banner on the side of it. You'd be absolutely amazed how many people point at it and go, what's all that about? And what does that mean? And why is that on a bus? And it gets people talking. And it's an opportunity to tell people what I believe, and to tell people why it's there, and that God does love them. If we think about the star, the three wise men, we find a different reference to light. A brilliant light in the sky not only announces that light has come to earth, it draws the magi to the light. More radiant than any star the astrologers had ever seen before was the star that shone over Bethlehem to signal the birth of a king. The star drew the men to such a degree that they were chose to journey far from their homes to worship the newborn king. Does anyone know how long the Magi travelled following that star?
All the way.
They did. They followed it all the way to Bethlehem. How long did they actually spend doing it? A week?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah, they followed the star for 2 years. I'd forgotten that. I'd been told it once, like many things, and then I'd forgotten it, and then I was reminded of it again. But it reminded me the level of commitment that we have to things. And they followed that star for 2 years because they knew that that was part of God's plan. They knew through the Old Testament what that star was, and they followed it for 2 years. And sometimes in this generation, we expect things to happen in a day or 2 days or a week. And if things haven't happened in a week, we go, oh, well, it mustn't be God's will then. It doesn't mean that. It means that we just keep praying and we keep praying and we keep looking for God to move. We're to shine like the light of the star, never diminishing, never wavering, no matter what is going on. Even if we believe that our nation's leaders are failing us, whatever's happening in our nation, we must carry on shining for God. We must shine with the hope and the love and the peace of Jesus Christ. Not an option, but a command. We must shine the light of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So how do we become light of the world for the world to see Jesus? There are 5 ways to be light to a lost and dying world. Now it's going to get a bit corny, you see, because I'm going to use the letters, L-I-G-H-T, to talk about light. L is for loving. We're told to love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus gave us this not as a suggestion, but as a commandment. Not just a commandment, but a commandment that is ranked as the second greatest commandment of all. Anyone know what the first one is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. Next to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, Jesus said in Mark 12:31, the second commandment, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There are 16 references in the New Testament that tell us to love our neighbour as ourself, to work no ill towards them, to please our neighbour, to speak truth to our neighbours. And that's the way that the light is going to be shared. We saw before when we did with the lights that when one light is lit, it can pass the light on to another and they will both be lit. And that's what our lives should be like, that sharing of the light. One of the greatest stories Jesus ever told concerned loving our neighbour. The parable of the Good Samaritan, when people walked by and ignored this Samaritan lying on the floor. And then somebody stopped and helped him. And Jesus said, which one of those was his neighbour? And the answer was easy once the story was told. But sometimes we don't see people as our neighbours that God would. God would say that everybody is our neighbour, and yet we exclude them. I is for imitate Christ. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. The Greek word for imitate means to duplicate. It means to follow. We have to follow the example that Christ gave. Duplicate what Jesus did and follow his example. We have to be more and more and more like the light of the world. We're all Christ's representative. We're here to represent what Jesus is about on earth. We've heard it before in this church, but people that you know, you might be the only Christian voice that they hear. You might be the only Christian person that they know. And the light that you share with them, however good or bad that light is, might be the only light that they see. And you will be Jesus for that person. And that's quite a responsibility. And the more I think about that, the more it weighs on my shoulders that that's a responsibility for me in Rochdale where I work, or these other places that I go and residential homes that I go around and visit and train in. It might be the only contact that they have that tells them about Jesus. If they can't see Christ shining through, then they might not find him. And without Christ, there's no salvation. Without salvation, no eternal life. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. G is for getting to know others. In order to gain friends, one first must show themselves to be friendly. The world needs people to reach out in acts of friendship. Again, we were talking at work about the problems that we've got in the world. And it was the general feeling, not just from me as a Christian, but from everyone that was sharing lunch that day, that the problem is that everyone is now self-centred. Everything is about me, myself and I. And we put ourselves at the centre of everything. And I certainly think that non-Christians tend to do that. It worries me sometimes that Christians tend to do that as well. Instead of putting God at the centre and saying, what does God want me to do? We put ourselves there and say, what's going to help me? What am I going to do that will make me feel better? Proverbs 18 verse 24 says that there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. To be a shining light, we must stick closer to people than a brother or a sister. We need to know about people, we need to know about their circumstances, and we need to bring their circumstances to God and ask God to move. I've been asked to pray this morning for friends of, well, a friend of Graham and Cathy. I'll tell you what I know about him. He's living in Coppice Care Home. He's called Raymond, and he's now in hospital. He's on antibiotics, and fluids have been withdrawn, and he's only been expected to last a few more days. Is that right? Yeah. He's already been visited by a previous chaplain, and they've asked us to pray for him this morning. I think this would be a good time to do it. So let's just have a word of prayer. Lord, we don't know Raymond. Graham and Kathy know him a bit and have got involved with him. And Lord, we just pray for him. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with him, that the words and the example that Graham and Kathy are to him might show him Jesus. Lord, we just pray that you would be with the doctors and the nurses as they care for him. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would comfort him as he's in hospital. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would take over his life and give him your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. H is for hospitality. Hospitality in Bible times wasn't just a gracious act, but a necessity. Strangers were to be treated as guests. The homeowner was expected not only to house them, but to feed and protect them. Remember the story of Mary and Martha, where one of the sisters busied herself around, doing all sorts of things, while the other sister just sat and listened and spent time with Jesus. That's what that was all about. That hospitality bit was expected. Hospitality is known as the love of strangers. We get back into the ministry of receiving others into our homes, feeding them, housing them, making them feel welcome. Isaiah 58 verse 7, I want you to share your food with the hungry, to welcome poor wanderers into your home. We're all called to practice hospitality as best we can, for it is a true act of gratefulness for what God has done for us. H is about hospitality, welcoming people into our homes. Don't know if any of you remember Elaine Doyle. We see her quite regularly. Yeah, she used to play the organ for us. Elaine Doyle came in today. She came into church and had a word with... Sorry? Yesterday, sorry, Dorothy. Came in yesterday, had a word with Dorothy. She said that anyone who wants to can go into her house after the service today to see her Christmas display. I think that's lovely. Yeah. And I would encourage you, under hospitality, to go in and share with Elaine. Have a chat with her. Have a look at the display that she's offered to us. If you don't know where she lives, have a word with us and we'll tell her where she lives. It's one of the houses just up there. I can't remember the number. You remember the number? 40. Sorry? 40. Thank you. Thank you. Number 40, Roman Road. Yes. But she's expecting people to go in, so let's go. Let's go and say hello to Elaine after the service. T is for telling others of Jesus. Why are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, you're a Christian because somebody told you about Jesus. At some point in your life, somebody told you about Jesus. I think I'm a Christian because Tom Savage, do you remember Tom Savage? Tom Savage told me about Jesus. Lots of people did. But one of the things that Tom did was he told me about Jesus, and I also saw a man that lived a life for Jesus. And everything he did, and all the times he talked about work, he was a very practical, hands-on man, but all the times he talked about work, and then how he told people about Jesus while he was there, and how he brought it into the conversation, and he actually lived Christ through his life, and that's what made a difference to me. We should always be ready to tell the story of how we've met and accepted Christ our Saviour. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Jesus had to show the disciples how to fish for men. So too will Jesus teach you and show you how you can explain your salvation story to those who ask. Just a little story to close. Seems there was a Hindu trader in India, and he asked this missionary, What do you put on your face to make it shine? The missionary was shocked and said, I don't put anything on my face to make it shine. I don't know what you're talking about. The Hindu began to lose patience and said, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus have got it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat. Even in the city of Bombay, I've seen it. You put something on your face to make it shine. Suddenly, the Christian understood and his face glowed because of Jesus. Now I know what you mean. And I can tell you the secret. It's not something we put on the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of God in our hearts that you can see in our faces. When we walk with Jesus, even our face shows the light within us. When people spend enough time around us, they should notice something is different. A little girl was on her way home from church with her mother and suddenly said, Mum, that preacher's sermon this morning confused me. It'll probably happen today. The mum said, oh, why's that? The little girl said, well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah, that's true, the mother said. He also said that God lives within us. Is that true? Is that true? Yes. You're struggling, aren't you, mothers, now, to answer all these questions? Again, the mother replied, yeah. Well, said the girl, if God is bigger than us and he lives within us, won't he show through? Sometimes the words of children can show us what we really should be doing in life. We should be the light of the world. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together and sing one.